Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Chris.
Pony, you look resplendent today.
Thank
Blazer,
you.
The button-down shirt, hair.
I had a shirt on earlier that said, I heart farts.
Yeah?
And I changed into this.
I actually
nice dress
Lennox
shirt.
Has Lennox has a onesie that says, I heart to fart.
There you go. Two peas in a farting pod. Me and your son.
Yeah. Where do you want to go from there? We're talking about farts. We could talk about quacks.
We're the PM team presented by Schaaf & Luhana Injury Law Firm. Doing good by doing right. Craig Riley's here producing. That was the DuckTales theme, which I'm guessing every sports talk show in town will at some point today find that. Or
it's better to go DuckTales than to like pull Duck Dynasty 40, out of mothballs.
You know, somebody, any radio show with local performers is probably like, let's go get that DuckTales
right,
song
if he
today.
Wins, if he starts for sure and he wins on Sunday, there will be more DuckTales references than you could shake a stick at. There will be a ton of them. People are going to be talking DuckTales this, DuckTales that. He has a chance, even if it's only for 1 week, if people, because most people seem to think, they're not like me, that Duck could be the better player, that he'll, even if he plays great, go back to the bench as soon as Rudolph's ready. He has a chance for one game cult hero status, though.
Oh, the outdoor stores in town.
Oh, your Cabela's, your Duluth Trading Companies. If Duck wins this game and he's got income for life doing appearances at those. Hey, I saw him out at the Cabela's.
Listen to what Nick Vanette.
Yeah, I was down in Fairchance.
Who was with the Seahawks last month before a trade. Maybe you didn't hear this because the DuckTales song was playing in the background.
Threw me back,
and it distracted
yeah,
you. Listen to Vanette
sure.
here on Hodges.
I've dealt with something like that in Seattle, you know, with shorter quarterbacks. Kind of get kind of hid behind that big offensive line. You don't really see them until you see the ball come out. I think he knows his reads, and he's going to get the ball out when he can. And when he sees the guy open, he's going to make the play. And we all have full confidence in him and full trust in him.
He's comparing Duck Hodges
to Russell Wilson,
who is the best quarterback in the league right now. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's the favorite 5 weeks through the season to win the Most Valuable Player Award. And Nick Vanette, who was around Russell Wilson for years, sees some of Wilson, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, in Devlin Hodges.
It is the way of comparisons that they always feel a little bit lazy, like, hey, can you think of a short player or a physically reminiscent player that's usually, whenever you're in this setting, right, that's usually good. It's not like, yeah, I compare him to some crappy 5'11 quarterback that I know or had time with. Yeah, that guy stunk, and so does Duck.
But who are the names that come to mind? Is Devlin
Baker
Hodges,
Mayfield, Russell Wilson are the comparable.
He's a combination
Drew,
of them.
Drew Brees a little bit, although Brees is sort of his own animal.
So we are about to watch a quarterback who is Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, and Drew Brees all in one.
Yeah, did I remember Doug Flutie in there, too?
Doug Flutie.
Because 21-yard scrambles.
Doug Flutie, Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield, and Russell Wilson all in one.
Yeah, only the good qualities of each man, though. I don't know.
What are your expectations for Hodges? He's going to play. What do you think he'll do in L.A. Sunday night in front of the whole football world?
I think he's going to win. Okay, so I think they're going to win the game, which might be a commentary on their defense more than anything, which even with Arthur Burns looking like he's going to have to step in, I still am hopeful is going to be decent. I have a feeling he's able to move them up and down the field with some regularity because I don't think that Chargers defense, if the Steelers handle their pass rush, is great on the back end. Casey Hayward's a great corner that they have that they'll stick on Juju, you would imagine, and then it's going to be hit your other guys. I think he'll throw the ball generally to the right guy, and he'll probably be pretty accurate. My one worry is that he tries to get a little greedy and fit some throws in there, like throwing back across his body. But I think...
So there's even a little Favre in there with him.
Yeah. Oh, definitely some
Favre.
Yeah, Southern Mississippi. I'm sure Brett Favre has duck called before. So there's definitely some old gunslinger there,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the other four quarterbacks, at least two of whom are likely Hall of Famers.
So you see some Hall of Fame qualities in Hodges?
Sure, okay. Sure. Well, like the majority are Hall of Fame qualities. I mean, if he throws for like 225 and at least a touchdown, he'll have met my expectations. I expect him to move the offense, Pony.
Yeah.
I do. The way Minshew has moved it, generally speaking, for Jacksonville.
Well, I'm going to need your help today.
Not
then.
To that degree, but I expect him to move the ball.
I'm going to need your help today, then.
Okay.
I'm going to need you and the listeners to build me back up on Duck.
What happened? Who broke you down on Duck?
I'll give you the name.
Edward Bouchette.
Yes. You know why?
What did he say?
Because Father Time,
mama, that kind of
the
stuff.
Old sage,
your mama,
like, the Hall of Fame Steelers writer, came on yesterday and said, it's going to be deja vu, just like they let Rudolph play in the second half against Seattle. Once you put these coaches back in the lab, and Randy Feitner's got his beakers out and his, and his lab coat
it's all
on.
It's all to make apple pie moonshine, of course, in Randy's lab.
I don't trust the coaches to let Duck Hodges be Duck.
That's a fair word. That's actually a pretty fair word.
They're flying the 3,000 miles. They're going to be in that fog that they're always in when they're in the Pacific time zone. And Tomlin is West Coast Tomlin. And his teams are 3-11 all time on the West Coast. And they're groggy. And they're discombobulated. And the games are, like, given to them, like with the 49ers game. And they can't accept it. They're just in a trance. And I just think that this is going to trickle down to Hodges, that he cannot, as a undrafted rookie, you can put a lot on Duck Hodges, but you can't put everything on Duck Hodges. And when you saddle
him,
it
sounds like you're agreeing with the idea that they should be conservative. You can't put everything on him. You can put a hell of a lot more than you put on Mason Rudolph.
No, but you can't expect with Hodges that, like, he's going to be able to either run these funky plays.
Well, don't have him run funky plays. Just say, hey, Duck. Like, how many individually different plays do you think a team
Chris,
runs in
I don't think they'll keep it simple stupid with him. I don't.
What
I
about,
think,
hey, Duck, what plays do you like from the menu here?
I think Feitner's going to get in his own head and he's like,
he saw what happened.
I got to make sure I'd rather play not to lose than play to win, and let's give it to Connor.
They're 1-4. They're 1-4. That's even different than Rudolph against the Bengals.
I'm going into battle with a third string guy, so let's play defense. Let's just make sure we don't screw it up. A punt's not a bad play, Duck, in this
don't
game.
Say this.
Yes.
They're all going to get
Bouchette has me thinking. That is the way Ed wore off on me yesterday. I was thinking about it all night. I'm up in bed thinking about how I got screwed.
You're up in bed thinking about Duck Hodges?
Yes. Oh, I got screwed in
I'm
my
sorry
fantasy
to Mrs.
league.
Filippone.
I have no fantasy football to look forward to on Sunday now other than your daily league, which I'll get in and probably win. And I'm going to be thinking
really? Because you haven't gotten in it the last couple weeks. I wonder why.
Because you keep blocking
sir,
me
are loser.
From joining.
Goodbye.
Look at this guy. The human excuse over here.
Bouchette just hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday.
Oh, come on.
A Bouchette brick wall. He was a Devlin Downer. Is what he is.
How long did you hold that
he
one
was
in the
a
old
duck,
reserve?
Not a Duck Dynasty, a Duck Downer, Chris.
Craig, do you feel like we're watching borderline performance art right now?
I feel like Feitner is going to, instead of doing 1 + 1 = 2, he's got his algebra out and he's got.
Oh, Randy's not doing
calculus. He's like a beautiful mind and he's scribbling all this stuff on the board and none of it makes sense.
What is he doing? Please excuse my dear Aunt
none
Sally
of it
here.
Makes sense.
Order of operations. John Nash. I will tell you. I can't sit here and...
The coaches are going to hold Duck back, and I'm concerned about that, Chris.
I can't sit here and tell you that's not a founded concern, because that's what I brought up yesterday, is this game, maybe the most interesting element of it early on, is going to be if they do to Duck what they did to Rudolph. Rudolph averaged something like 8 air yards or whatever. He was throwing the ball aggressively in the second half against Seattle, is the point. The next couple of games, it went under half of that. Duck was throwing the ball and slinging it. I wonder, and I think the first couple drives offensively will be fascinating, are the Steelers going to put the same sort of handcuffs, the same sort of restrictions on them? I hope not, because they've got to go out on their shield if they're going to go out. And going out on their shield is letting the guy come in and throw the ball. Have you looked at the running back situation?
I know, but Bouchette put me down in the Duck dumps. And I'm not out of it yet. And maybe by the end of the show, I'll be back. But I'm not right now. And I'm serious. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Would you like to talk about something slightly more positive?
No.
Garrett Cole is next on The Fan. Wouldn't exactly say that it was, you know, Game 7 at Joe Louis Arena, Penguins and Red Wings quality, but a win is a win. Penguins played the right way. It was one of those check out the little things with Sidney Crosby kind of game. It's like the hockey lifer, hockey junkie, hockey purist game.
It was a game it was a game Sullivan in general was very pleased with, which tells you it was probably 2-1 or 3-2. And then, yeah, it was the, like, here's six video breakdowns of him taking the puck in his skates and doing something like four other guys in the league can maybe do kind of game. You had a tweet about that whole situation, not about that specific dynamic, but about Crosby's general subtle brilliance last night that kind of struck me. You said he's the TB12. He won't allow this team to miss the playoffs. He's the Brady of hockey. You know what the big difference that, whether I agree or disagree that they will surmount injuries and still make the playoffs is irrelevant here. Very unlike Tom Brady in one way. Tom Brady's league protects him to a fault physically. You come in low on any quarterback now because somebody did it to Tom Brady and tore his ACL. That games have been decided very literally because of a rule designed pretty transparently to protect Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby has been mugged on the ice basically before by the David Steckles of the world, bricklayers in hockey terms, and has had no real protection afforded him. Quite the opposite, I would argue.
I don't think he really
I don't think he wants it. He's a rough and tumble guy with his lower body, especially. He's a physical player. But hockey has afforded him no special protection for him being its biggest star, the way football really has for Tom Brady.
I mean, he's hockey's ultimate chameleon. He can pretty much do everything.
Do you agree that they don't really protect him and other star players?
If your general point is that the NHL doesn't build its on ice,
the product
brand
is not built around stars, and the stars are not protected.
Of course not. Yeah,
which I think is to its detriment. Like maybe hockey's ethos is it's all about the team. Stars don't matter. Guys are all humble or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You want to build a league and build a brand to its greatest height. You take great pains to make sure your stars are marketed.
What I didn't have room in a tweet about the, because I do think that Sidney Crosby is the Brady of hockey. One of the things that I didn't say in there was he gives the Penguins a salary break the same way Brady gives the Patriots. He's the 23rd highest paid player in the NHL. Jeff freaking Skinner makes more money than Sidney Crosby. Like, he is not, as other players since he signed that contract like 6 years ago have leapfrogged him and jumped him. His agent hasn't gone back and said, can we rework this deal and now make him one of the highest paid guys? You know he deserves it. Let's do it amicably. He accepts what he is. He's highly paid, but he doesn't demand to be the highest paid. And that should, just like it does the Patriots, help the Penguins build a more complete roster. Unfortunately, they've got like $17 million tied up in Jack Johnson and Eric Goodbranson, two guys who shouldn't be in their lineup. Goodbranson didn't play last night, and Marino was fine, and you still got Johnson out there.
They took Crosby's charity, and to a lesser extent, and I only say lesser because he makes a little bit more money and he hasn't been as productive, of Evgeny Malkin's charity, like having ultimately team-favorable deals, and they have squandered it. Whereas the franchise at large has taken the golden goose of having those two in back-to-back drafts come to their, wear a Penguins sweater, and three cups, I would say, is making generally the most of it.
Yes,
They have taken that little aspect of that and not done well with it. Like, Jim Rutherford in particular has gone willy-nilly. I would put the Jack Johnson deal in there. I would put the Patrick Hornquist extension for a guy that, man, you were paying up front early hoping that he was going to see anywhere near the middle of that deal as an effective player. They haven't used that freed up money well. Look at what the Blackhawks have to pay Taves and Kane by comparison. Now, Kane still produces, but Taves just had his career high, I think, in goals last year.
Yep.
And it was an outlier year for him.
They still missed the playoffs.
What do they have, 20-odd million tied up in those two every year? 21, maybe? I mean, that's the deal. That's the one advantage of guaranteed deals if you have stars who aren't going to be unhappy that they're not getting as paid as much. The Penguins signed those deals when the cap was such that was still a slight bargain, but close to the max, and the max just keeps going up.
Coming up next, our thoughts on last night's Huntington Bowl, and there's a fresh story on the Pirates managerial search, a name that's not Jeff Banister now up front, the number one favorite for the job. We'll discuss it next. It's the PM team on the Fan.
Those guys were grinding in the offseason. They were grinding all year through a bunch of injuries. Coming back and getting guys healthy, taking a lot of time off the DL, and that's tough. So, a lot of credit to them for really just such a good brand of baseball. And it was a pleasure to fight with them for five games.
93.7 The Fan, time is 2:44. It's brought to you by the House of 1,000 Beers, locations in Wexford and New Kensington. Also the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town. Former NFLer Doran Dickerson is going to be in studio with us at 3 o'clock. A lot to talk about, including an opinion I have about what this Steelers season could have been. The what-if game. And Doran is more than happy to sit in on that. Probably better than the Huntington Bowl last night. That Huntington clip, giving the Rays so much credit. You know how I took that, Chris? I think that was a not-so-subtle shot at Neil Huntington.
You mean Cole?
Yes.
You said the Huntington clip.
Oh, the Cole clip was just a not-so-subtle shot at Huntington. Talking about, what a great team the Rays have, what they've assembled with those guys there. In part because of Neil Huntington.
Yeah, I don't think they're... I wouldn't even say not so subtle. It was an open shot, right? The only way you could be less subtle about it is to probably just name Neil Huntington and his staff.
For making the Rays into a contender?
Yes.
Yep. How about this for Cole? As he goes eight innings last night, he's thrown 100 in the eighth inning.
Did you see the one his first out of the eighth inning? On the low and in black.
Yep.
99. It looked like a laser-guided missile.
Cole in this series, 15 and two-thirds innings, 28 strikeouts. 11th straight game for Gerrit Cole with double-digit strikeouts.
When was the last game he actually took a loss in?
I think back when the Pirates were still
May
in contention.
24th. He hasn't lost a baseball game since
before Memorial Day.
Yep.
Damn.
He has started 24 games since. He is 18-0 with six no decisions. His ERA is in the 1.6-ish territory in that span.
Mm-hmm.
He has 251 strikeouts in that span.
How many starts?
So if you're scoring at home, he's averaging 10 strikeouts, slightly north of 10 strikeouts a game.
How many starts would Miyamo Trevor need?
To strike out 251?
To get to 251 guys.
I don't know, but he'd have a lot of three pitcher less plate appearances. Guys would be hitting the ball over the fence first, second pitch.
How about that guy, Trevor Williams? May I, for just a brief second here, criticize a Pirates pitcher? Before I criticize Williams, just so people don't think I'm a jerk, Joe Musgrove, after the season is over, we weren't a good team.
I wouldn't have paid either.
I wouldn't have taken my hard-earned money and watched our team play. Joe Musgrove, great dude.
Want him to be a better pitcher? I do. And I hope he does better next year. But he said what a lot of people were thinking,
and
I give him credit for that.
Joe Musgrove as a starting pitcher here is pretty much what he was in Houston. That really hasn't changed. The Pirates haven't made him better. They haven't made him worse. He is what he is. It's tough when you're the best player you get back for Gerrit freaking Cole. I don't think he's ever going to live up to that expectations, clearly. That's what Musgrove said after the season. Then you got Trevor Williams who says, Pirates fans, why don't you put things in perspective and log off Twitter? Okay. What?
Log off the Wi-Fi and try to smile a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Let's just high five over the fact that they lost 90-plus games. And, we'll get them next year. Hope springs eternal.
I talked to him a couple years ago in spring training, and he can be a very interesting and engaging guy in the right setting, but I also discovered about Trevor Williams pretty quickly that if he doesn't feel like talking, he has exactly the side of himself that he showed in those clips, or those quotes, right at the ready. Needless to say, I did not like what he said either. You go 69 and 93, you don't get to lecture fans of the team about anything.
Here's an idea, Trevor. Get more people out. All right, then talk. Win a baseball game. Go six innings without giving up six home runs. 11 straight games with double-digit strikeouts for Cole. In his 5 years with the Pirates, how many double-digit strikeout games do you think Gerrit Cole pitched?
I think he had either 11 exactly or seven. No, I'm gonna say under seven. I'm gonna say five.
Craig, what's the ball dome index tell you?
I was gonna guess three.
5 years here, Drum roll. Six double-digit strikeout games for Gerrit Cole. He's had now 11 straight. But it's okay. Hope is on the way.
On the Rays. No, Hope is on the Rays. Glasnow, Meadows,
John Heyman, Radio.com Sports Insider, says Twins hitting coach Derek Shelton is looking more and more like the favorite to be the Pirates' next manager. Chris, does Derek Shelton excite you?
As a managerial choice, possibly.
Why?
The Twins hit a lot of home runs, you might recall, this year. Set a major league record, first team to hit 300 in a single season. He was their hitting coach. All the guys on that team save, like, what? So going into the season, who was an established, like, power bat? Miguel Sano, who else on that roster?
Nelson Cruz.
Okay, Nelson Cruz has been a perennially great power hitter, right? That's not a bandbox park.
Eddie Rosario.
Is he a household name, though? You know what I mean? Is he a guy people are like, oh, yeah, you can't let Eddie Rosario beat you with a deep ball? Not till this year. Everyone in that lineup went out and mashed. And I know that's a better approach for the AL, but hey, if baseball is juicing the hell out of the ball and it's a home run and strikeout game, at least hire somebody for the job who made it his mission to try to get that team to hit more home runs.
Craig, does Derek Shelton have you doing cartwheels?
Not unless he's bringing those power hitters with him. Because here's the thing, you're right, it's great he did all that. But they don't have power hitters. You can't turn Kevin Newman into a power hitter.
So I think that's my point, though, is that he was able to get guys that were not traditional power hitters and unlock more power in their swings.
I just don't see power in this lineup in a way that I think anybody, even the guy who did it with nobody's.
Fine. Approach-wise, though, they decided batting average and, like, old-school small ball tactics were going to somehow be the cause du jour this year. I think, what, didn't they lead the league in team batting average?
They were first or second at the end.
Okay. That is not the way the sport is going. It is the three true outcomes sport. Walk, strikeout, home run. Like, that's
what the Twins set a record for most home runs.
And where did the Twins, even though they lost their 16th straight?
101 games, I think they won.
They were good.
If you were the Pirates hitting coaches, though, and you looked at those players, wouldn't you have thought, like, sure, I'd love to hit 400 home runs this year.
My point is, if you can bring in a guy who's got, not a proven approach, but whose whole thing is, here's what Brian Reynolds hit, let's try to add 10 to that this year, that is what I would like to see.
All right, I don't like the move. I don't like this rumor. You know why? Because it reinforces to me, if this is true, that Neil Huntington is winning the power struggle, and I have lost faith in Huntington.
Why does it reinforce that he's winning the power struggle?
Derek Shelton, what is his resume? He spent 5 years in Cleveland as their hitting coach in the mid-2000s. Where was Neil Huntington then? He was the assistant general manager in Cleveland.
So you disagree that Shelton might have at least a modern and with-the-times approach to how you're supposed to set a lineup?
I've been down this road before. I know what you're doing here. I lived it. Mickey Callaway, the best pitching coach in baseball. Terry Francona's right-hand man. Oh, that makes sense. The Mets have great pitchers, so he'll get more out of their pitchers. That's what they did for 2 years, okay? Clint Hurdle was a hitting guru before he got to the Pirates.
I was going to do the fart noise, but he did have three really good seasons in the middle there. Then after that, it was... This is Marconia winning.
I don't want, like, a guy that Huntington is familiar with.
Fine.
I want someone that doesn't have Neil Huntington's ideologies. I want somebody outside.
But a guy that's preaching home runs, I think, doesn't have Huntington's ideologies because they were all about batting average and hitting line drives and stringing together hits and rallies here this year. That's not modern baseball. It might be aesthetically pleasing baseball to a fans of a certain kind of generation, but what wins is hitting the ball over the fence. What do the Yankees do well? Over the fence, second to the Twins this year.
I want a manager who's about strikeouts, who's about bringing in a
Why don't you bring in a pitching
coach
who's about strikeouts? Why does the manager have to be?
I don't really think, like...
How about just a manager who says, my first priority is to hit more home runs, if I'm a hitting guy.
Fair enough, but
my first priority in a pitching coach is find ways to increase spin rate and strike hitters out.
Do you think that Clint Hurdle was, like, going into the film room as a guy that had been a hitting coach his entire life?
He was probably, like, chewing gum and going, here, raise your elbow and stuff like that.
Don't you think once you become the manager, you're not doing, like, the technical helping guys out with their swing?
But if managers have so little to do in the National League, or not in baseball in general, a little more to do in the National than they do in the American, doesn't it stand to reason that there would be more time for Shelton, just hypothetically, to work with guys on the approach?
Maybe.
Or maybe you blow out the hitting coaches if if suddenly like they don't want to get in and fall in line and find guys that do.
Hey, if you want to stick up for a guy who Neil Huntington
believes
in.
You asked me today at the start of the show to try to pump your tires about Duck. I am trying to apply that to all things. I need you to go into the weekend positive. I rallied today.
And coming back around on Neil Huntington is you're reinforcing here?
I'm really reinforcing the angle that if you're going to hire somebody who was a hitting coach for a team that set the major league record in home runs when they didn't really have any name power hitters outside of Nelson Cruz, you might at least be on a decent track. Not great, decent. Do I think Neil Huntington should be the GM still? No. This is the hand that's been dealt.
When they installed Shelton as the manager on the 2020 team and ran through their 10,000 simulations, how many times did they make the playoffs? Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills. Get there October 15th and help them support the fight against breast cancer. 75 degrees right now, a low of 57. Doran Dickerson, former NFLer, All-American tight end, joins us in studio next as the PM team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.